The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month of her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Some time ago, I had gone to bless the house, or one of the houses of our parishioners, and there was this lady there who was telling me of some supernatural experiences that she was having. She said that she was feeling attacked by the devil. And she said during one of these times, she called on the name of Jesus, and she still felt attacked. But then she called on the name of Mary, and she felt better. She felt that the presence, whatever was attacking her, she was being protected by Our Lady. And as she was telling me this, I was doubting what she was saying, because theologically, for me at the time, I said, it doesn't make sense. How can Mary be more powerful than Jesus? But yesterday, as I was coming up with a sermon, because our youth group was here at Mass last evening, and I know they like to talk about exorcisms and that kind of stuff. So I decided to do some research with regards to Mary and the devil, to cater to what the youth group wanted to know. And I was reading an article on a saintly priest named Father Candido Amantini. He was a priest and an exorcist in Rome at the Church of the Holy Stairs, and he's up for sainthood. I had lived at the Scala Santa at the Church of the Holy Stairs for a month, so I knew a little about him. Well, anyway, in this article, a story was related in which the same situation that happened to this lady I was talking to happened to Father Candido. He was performing an exorcism, and he noticed that whenever he said the name of Jesus, the devil got agitated, but the devil got even more agitated when he mentioned Mary. And so he asked the devil why. And the devil, speaking through the possessed person, said this: "Because of my pride, I am more humiliated when I am defeated by a simple creature." And it makes sense. The devil, the whole reason why we have a devil is because of his pride, that he could not stand that we would be higher, in a sense, our nature would be the chosen, our humanity would be the chosen vessel by God, in which God would bring forth his Son, Jesus. The devil does not want to bow down to any human being, Jesus or Mary. And so that kind of made sense to me after hearing what the devil had said to this priest. And so, brothers and sisters, we must seek shelter under the mantle of Our Lady to be protected from all harm. There are many safe places that we can go to, but Our Lady is one of the safest. There's another story of Father Candido. When he was preparing for an exorcism, he was in the room with some people and the possessed person, and they were saying the rosary. And as they were saying the rosary, the devil snatches the rosary that Father had in his hand and broke it to pieces. And the devil was mocking them, saying, "Oh, you're praying the prayer of old ladies." And then Father Candido, being smart, he took another rosary from his hand and put it around the possessed person's neck, and the person started to get very agitated. And then he goes, you still think it's a stupid prayer of old people? And the devil says, no, 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 it's very powerful. So brothers and sisters, see, find comfort through Our Lady. You know, many times the Protestants, they mock us. They mock us because of all these things that we, because of exorcisms and because of Our Lady. But even Father Ted was telling when he was here, and some other priest friends of mine, they say, you know, many times the Protestants, they send us people who encounter things like this because they don't know what to do. So they send them to the Catholic priests. But another area where the Protestants try and get us is they say that we're too, or that we worship Mary too much. And I beg to disagree. Why? Because we Catholics, we have to realize this too, because there are a lot of Catholics who are a bit fanatical when it comes to devotion to Mary. But we must realize that every dogma that the Church has proclaimed with regards to Mary is in relationship to Christ. For example, no, let's start with her perpetual virginity, that Mary was a virgin before, during, and after her conception of Christ. And that has nothing, that has to do with Mary, yes, but ultimately it has to do with Jesus, that the womb of the Blessed Mother was reserved only for Jesus Christ. That dogma is about Jesus ultimately. What are the other dogmas? Today we celebrate the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And what does this dogma say? It says that Mary was preserved from the stain of original sin so that she could be the perfect dwelling place for Jesus, for the incarnate God in her womb. There's a very beautiful word over, later when we offer the gifts, the prayer over the gifts, we're going to use this word which is prevenient. Prevenient. God foresaw the incarnation in the womb of the Virgin, and therefore he, because in God there is no chronological time, there's no before, during, and after in God. To God, everything is present. So God took some of the merits of Christ at Calvary, you know, and he took it from there and he used it on the Blessed Mother even before Calvary happened in chronological time. And he applied the merits of Christ's passion to Mary preveniently, applying it to her before, at the moment of her conception, and preserved her from original sin. And this has to do more with Jesus than Mary. Yes, we honor Mary under the title of the one who is immaculately conceived without original sin, but why was she conceived without original sin? So that she could be that perfect dwelling place for her Son. So that she could be a perfect tabernacle that would contain her, completely pure, untainted, and without spot, undefiled. All of the dogmas of the Church have related to the Mary ultimately have to do with Jesus. And that's what the Protestants fail to realize, that in honoring Mary, we honor Jesus ultimately. Another dogma that was proclaimed by the Church is that Mary is Theotokos, not just Christotokos. Mary is the God-bearer, not simply the Christ-bearer. Because if we say that she is the bearer of the Christ and not God, then in a way we're denying the divinity of Christ. When we say that Mary is the Son of God, Mary is the mother of the two natures of Jesus, human and divine. You see, it makes perfect sense, no? That how we honor Mary, we honor Jesus ultimately. And I'm sure many of you here, no? If anyone were to offend any of our mothers, if anybody were to offend my mother, they would be offending me. And if anybody would honor my mother, I would be honored. Mary is a good example for us Catholics of freedom. In the Gospel today, what does she say? Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. Mary set herself apart and was set apart by God for God to be that living vessel that would contain and bring forth God's Son, Jesus. Her message and her mission is clear. While the world, the flesh, and the devil try continuously to enslave us in sin, Mary leads us to the freedom that Jesus won for us and offers us. In the Gospel today, she shows us that example of perfect freedom in her yes to the mission God had in store for her. May we realize as Christians that not only are we called, like Mary, to be free from something, but that we are more importantly meant to be free for something. We're not just called to be free from something, we're called to be free for something, or even better, free for someone, and that is ultimately God alone. And so as we honor Mary today, as we celebrate her Immaculate Conception, let us pray through her intercession that we too may be able to respond always positively to the will of God in our lives. Amen.